I never know how to start these.
I think you start with that. Let's go. Yeah, just have that be the first line of the podcast.
I don't know how to start these. Let's do it.
I don't know how to start the podcast. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. As always, this is Josh Shores, here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett. Brian, welcome back to the table.
I appreciate y'all having me again.
You look nice in your little cubicle there.
You didn't give me any leg room.
Well, I didn't think you needed it. You know, you're short.
I'm shorter than everybody, so I can't say anything.
It's just, I thought you would be just fine, but we'll work on that. But thanks for jumping back in here. We've got some fun stuff to talk about. I think you've got a listener question. We were going to cover a few things, and brouhaha, we survived.
You barely survived.
I barely survived. My back was just in shambles.
You looked rough by the end of the night.
Yeah, it's not good to tote around kegs when your back's hurt.
Yeah. So, as a fellow backy sufferer, it's tough.
If anyone's listening, don't do that if you have a hurt back. But no, it was fun. I don't know. Do you know how many people were there?
It was hundreds.
I think it was at least 500.
The pizza lines went on forever, and that's what I did. I handed out the
gluten-free.
Yeah, they put me on the gluten-free section, so I had the shortest line by far.
Did you convince anyone not to take the gluten-free?
I did.
I know you've done research.
We'd started running out, and I didn't want to give away gluten-free pizza to people who didn't need it.
Right.
And so I just kind of talked it down a little bit.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, people who...
So if someone came up with an empty plate and they're like, thank goodness you all have gluten-free or I wouldn't have been able to eat, I pretty much let them take whatever they wanted.
Right.
People that came up with a bunch of pizza on their plate and said, oh, you have the shortest line. I'm like, you can have a piece. And they were small pieces. They didn't have a lot.
Did you really shake them down, though? Were you like,
do you have a gluten allergy?
Let me see your records.
Your papers.
Towards the end, I was just handing them out more. So,
I just have this vision in my head of Brian becoming the soup Nazi from
Seinfeld.
No pizza for you.
No gluten free.
No pizza. 1 year.
Well, the rough part is they didn't give me a sign, so there's nothing at my booth that said gluten free. So everybody just saw a short line.
Yeah. Okay.
I did notice that because I was wondering how are people going to know, but they don't.
They just had to talk to me.
Well, we'll have to get that corrected. We'll have to talk to Stephanie about that.
Yeah, conversation's been had. I told her that would make my life a lot easier next time.
But no, there was a lot of people there.
So is there any competition nature of it or between the comedians or the beer or the pizza? Or is it all just
the pizza?
The pizzas.
Okay. The pizza, they do. They had judges there. Amy and Chris from Daytime was there.
Okay.
As judges, and I can't, who was the, there was a third judge, I can't remember who it was, but they had two or three categories for the pizzas for winners, but no, the drinks, comedians, all of that was just kind of extra.
Okay. What was interesting to me was we were in one room, and you could hear the comedians regardless of where you were at, but between acts, that's when everybody would get up to get in Josh's beer line.
Okay.
And I'm like, you could have done that during the act and still heard it completely fine.
Yeah, so here's the pizza winners. Best overall was Beef O'Brady's.
Not who I would have picked out of a hat.
I'm going to be honest.
I don't know who competed, but I would have never said Beef O'Brady's.
I didn't even really know Beef O'Brady's had pizza.
I didn't either. I was beside Mad Greek, so I helped eat some of their pizza.
Best specialty pizza was Main Street.
Okay.
We went there yesterday. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. And the best traditional pizza was Fox Pizza Den. Fox's.
I've not had Fox Pizza in a long time. Now that's going to make me want to go try all of these. Yeah. We've been on a kick where we're making our own. Aldi has pizza dough that you can buy, and we've just been throwing them in the oven.
Now we know how easy it is to talk Peter into pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have to name a restaurant.
Mention it. You could say that about any food. I mean, if we're being honest.
Aldi freaks me out. I'm just going to say it. Unpopular opinion. Aldi freaks me out.
Aldi has the best stuff. You just never know if they're going to have it or not. So they're hard to rely on, like, your weekly grocery.
I don't recognize any brands, or it's just all different. It's just weird to me.
Sophisticated.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because it feels like...
It's where you go for your charcuterie board.
Now, is this the place that they don't bag your groceries for you?
Or? Yeah, that is the annoying part. And you have to pay for your cart.
They scan your groceries and set it beside the bag.
They put it in the cart that you brought up.
Okay.
And then you take it over to a counter where if you've brought your own bags, you can bag it. You can buy paper bags for like 10 cents a bag. You can buy
And I know it's their plastic model. It just seems a little passive aggressive to me.
Well, yeah, we were talking about automation on the last one.
Yeah.
But this is just, nah, that's not a service we provide.
But you go ahead and bag those up.
We keep a quarter in all of our cars specifically for the Aldi grocery cart because they unlock with a quarter.
Yeah.
And then you put it back and you get your quarter back.
Right.
But it's always a good day, though, when you find like a spare quarter beside them. You're like, oh, God, I forgot one, you know.
Maybe I'll try again. I've been in there a few times. It's just weird to me. I don't know. It feels discount.
It's taken me this long to know where things are at in Food City.
It feels like it's the TJ Maxx of grocery to me. But then
I
you're
understand
saying,
the sentiment. The food's actually a little bit more high end. It's just their brands a lot of times. But it's stuff that you can't get at a regular grocery store a lot of times. But their produce is really good. You just don't know if you're going to have it or not because they don't have a huge supply of anything. So you may go, you know, wanting to get, you know, I'll get a smoked salmon to put on sandwiches and bagels over there.
Mm-hmm.
I never know if it's going to be there or not. It's really good when it's there, but who knows? And they do have other brands mixed in, but it's primarily their stuff.
Right. I totally forgot what the other thing we were going to talk about.
Firehouse.
Yeah. Jeez, how could I forget that, Mr. Seaton?
Yeah.
So you had a run-in.
Yeah, I got to talk to Mr. Seaton the other day. I was over at Convocation for Northeast State, so the kickoff event for the fall semester. And as part of that event, the foundation, which I chair, does a luncheon for all the faculty and staff. And so each year, you know, out in their courtyard, we'll do this big lunch. And they had put a tent up, fortunately. The rain was supposed to come in the afternoon. It came in as the event was starting.
Of course.
And so a couple of us were standing underneath the trees because that was enough cover because it wasn't really raining bad. And then all of a sudden, it opened up. We all had to sprint under the tent. And the rain hitting the tent was so loud, you couldn't have heard yourself talk. But that didn't last a huge amount of time. But I've got to give a little spiel at these things, thanking, you know, the teachers for all they do, the faculty for what they do, for, you know, all the tireless, you know, hours that they put in that aren't recognized. That's kind of what this event's about. And I also was able to thank Mr. Seaton because they help us out with this event, and they've catered it, I think, for as long as I can remember. I'll throw out a number and it'd be wrong because they may have done it even before that. But we had a really interesting conversation about the importance of supporting small restaurants and small businesses that are local that you want to survive, because he was talking about how catering, if you were just a caterer, COVID wiped you out.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fortunate with having the location that they do, that they could add curbside. And he had mentioned that his son had really taken that on and it had grown so much and that people were buying more through curbside than they did coming into the restaurant. And I think that's something that's been interesting about COVID, right? That this whole new demographic of the introverts have found ways to, you know, like, I really want that, but I don't want to go out to a restaurant.
No, I've almost exclusively become a curbside person.
Yeah, it's
I get to go home and watch TV or hang out and don't have to do the restaurant thing.
I don't have to go in and sit down.
It's the best side of not having to cook and not having to deal with people.
Yeah.
That's true.
So we had a really good conversation, and I was just so appreciative of his support. You know, he and his wife were out there running it for us, you know, so That's the other benefit I think you get a lot of times with small businesses is that the people there are the ones who, you know, own the business and they care about it being done right.
Yeah, and I know that they've been historically very active in the communities, you know, Tri-Cities. I know of them doing a ton of stuff over the last 15 years or so that I've been involved with. So it's definitely something they have a passion for, and they do it right.
Yeah. And it takes only a minute on their website to want ribs.
Yeah.
They have just beautiful pictures of baby back ribs and things on their website.
Maybe we should curbside.
We should curbside. Some. Bring it back here and
and then go into a food coma after it. But that's...
Throw it on pizza. Barbecue pizza is good.
Barbecue pizza is good.
Now we're back on pizza.
You have to be the right like ratio of barbecue to pizza, though. I think you can't overdo the the barbecue on it.
Right. Well, we do like Firehouse, so shout out to them. Keep doing the great things.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We are looking for sponsors.
Or just barbecue.
Or pizza.
Just deliver ribs.
We'll eat it on air that we don't broadcast. That you know, you won't be able to see it, but we'll eat it. It'll be the ASMR, you know, of barbecue.
Yeah. It'd be an awful podcast. Good food, you never hear talking.
People would just hear.
Podcast at its finest.
Well, Brian, I know you had a question come in.
I did. One of my wife's friends is getting ready to get married, and she and her fiance have not had the finance conversation yet. And wanted to know what that should look like, what kind of questions to ask, what should they get on board with. Needless to say, I feel like we could cover this in multiple podcasts, but I think we can get a little bit of it out here.
He told me that, and I hope I don't frustrate your friend. They probably don't listen, but I don't.
People listen to this? Should I say different things?
When he told me that question originally, it really caught me off guard. I thought you were joking. To be honest, when I was reading it on my phone, I thought you were being goofy. But that's really scary to be.
If you're not in the field and you don't think about it and you're in love, I mean, I can see falling in that situation.
Yeah, it's just that's a conversation that needs to be had sooner rather than later.
It impacts everything in your life.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it before. Your spouse is your biggest teammate when it comes to financial planning. Mm-hmm. Being on the same page, having those conversations, and I'd even say it's not even one conversation. It goes on throughout the marriage.
It's like a working document.
Fear. I think the fear and why it doesn't happen is that people build it up into one conversation. So that would be some of the advice that I give a lot of people is have micro conversations around things. And then if you get enough of a feel across a lot of conversations, maybe you do have a big conversation, you know, at one point, but then you're not starting from scratch there either. But you've got the ability to say, you know, when we were on, you know, date night the other night and you said this, that really got me thinking about this and how you would view that. Because I don't know that we're necessarily on the same page or whatever it is. But as with anything, communication and honesty are the bedrocks of any marital problem or any relationship problem.
Absolutely.
And having the ability to have those honest conversations. And I think too many times people feel like, okay, if I'm going to have an honest conversation, I need to change the way I talk. It has to be more formal. I need to just be yourself, express your concerns, or express your desires. But it's so important. And there's 1,000 ways to do it.
And I don't think you necessarily have to start off with the finance conversation. It could be, you know, goal-oriented. I want to do X, Y, Z.
Right. Work backwards, like we've talked about. It's but there are some particular topics that you should probably be aware of before you get married that affect your finances. So kids are obviously the big one, you know.
Student debt.
What? Yeah. Not just student debt, but what debt are you bringing into this marriage? What finances are you bringing into it? Maybe one side is coming in as a high income earner and one person is coming in as low, and how do you balance that? You know, I've got my opinions on that, in that it's a communal pot that we're working out of. But especially when you get into like second marriages and you've got other family, and I think those are just being aware of them and what people's expectations are. And so another big one is, what expectations of extended family support do you have? So if you've got a brother who leeches off of you, you know, that's going to create resentment if it's not talked about. But if you know going in, hey, expect $500 a month to go to, you know, I don't know, I'd come up with a name, but then I'd offend somebody. The couple names that I came up with immediately, I was like, yeah, by no way. And so,
we'll just call him Josh.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to send me $500 a month.
If you want to. But then would the spouse then say, why are you supporting Josh, not our family and our goals and everything else? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I think those are important. What type of vacations, what type values you have about cars and clothes and possessions.
They're saving versus investments, even. You know, we've talked about it before. Some people want a certain level nest egg.
Right.
Even if it's more than, you know, maybe you or I would think.
Right. Just from that safety, to feel safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think what you were saying too, you wanna be kind of proactive with those conversations instead of waiting until the $500 comes out of the account and your spouse is like, what is that for? Is this? And then you're almost in like on the defense.
And that's another
right
thing
out of the gate. So
what level of spending warrants telling the other person ahead of time?
That's a huge one.
That's tricky.
Yeah. That was the only one that took Lacey and I a long time to
clearly
get down.
Clearly, I'm not going to give any relationship advice. So I'll drop back and punt on this one. But
and it's changed, it changes over time too, as you start to trust the person more. You know, maybe, you know, $50 is the new limit, or instead of 25.
I thought you just gave them an allowance every week.
No, that's not normally.
That's not how you do it.
That's not how you do it.
No.
Oh, dang.
You know, some people have separate accounts. Some people have combined or a combination of the two, and they can work with those as long as they contribute to the bills. And
I think that's a big thing for me that I've seen have the most success. Obviously, there's other ways to do it, but having a joint account where the bulk goes, and then two separate accounts that you determine a dollar amount per month that goes into those, that money can be spent without criticism, without judgment. I mean, you're still going to judge people, but like there's nothing, like we've agreed up front, you can't do anything about it. So if somebody has a, you know, hobby that costs a lot of money, it should come out of like that section. And those type of things, I think that can stall or put off or just completely avoid arguments, because then you're not having to. I think what you said is really important. What dollar amount, and that threshold does change over time. You know, as you become, you know, higher incomes or lower incomes, that number should shift. But if you think it should shift, then this goes back to that communication. Let's say you get a job pay cut and you don't have that conversation of, okay, well, now I was okay with you spending $50 without me knowing about it. Now that should be 25, but you don't tell them that's 25. That creates resentment. It creates all those problems. So we've talked about it. We talked about it on daytime, how the conversations around money are the biggest disruptors and causes of divorce outside of affairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah. We talked about that 1 week there.
Although I will say, there's been a comedian here lately on America's Got Talent, and he's a stats comedian. He finds funny things in stats. And, you know, so he threw up one that was talking about how 44% of all marriages end in divorce. It was like, when you think about it, that means 56% of marriages end in death. So, I mean, those are the only two ways out of marriage. So, you know, maybe that number's not as bad as we think it is. You know, so it is kind of an important thing. It's important to have those conversations up front.
Right. And continuing on, because not only do your financial situations change, but your mindset about money might change. Your mindset, I want to, instead of paying off this debt anymore, I want to start investing here because this situation has changed or this opportunity opened up.
Right.
And it's all about the teammate mentality, I think.
You know, and kind of the dirty word in the room is prenuptial agreements, you know, but those agreements can stop these fights in that, look, we agreed up front that this was how things were going to go if we split up. Now, there's actually something called a postnuptial agreement that you can do the same thing after you've gotten married. Nobody really thinks about doing it, but...
That would be a more difficult conversation.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, a lot of times that's something changed dramatically, like a big inheritance came in, you know, that was unexpected.
And you wanted to stay on your side of the family.
On your side of the family, or especially in second marriages. I think that's a really big thing with, okay, we've gotten married, but your kids get your stuff and my kids get my stuff type thing. So those type conversations can be had. Believe it or not, everybody has a prenuptial agreement. It's just whether or not you wrote it or the government wrote it. Because if you don't have one in place, the government decides how your assets are split.
What's their general stance?
Yeah.
Every state has its own laws.
Okay.
So you need to be aware. But like Tennessee is a 50-50 state. So communal property is 50-50 down the road. Now, that's not getting into alimony and child support and all that sort of stuff, but generally Tennessee is a 50-50 state, that anything that was commingled from before or earned during your marriage would get split 50-50.
I never really thought of it in those terms, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I knew that. I just never thought of it as a government
sponsored
prenup.
So if you're okay with
prenup,
whatever your state's laws are, then you that's your prenup. But if you don't want that, then nobody thinks they're going to get divorced when they get married, because why would you get married?
Why'd you get married?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to bring up the conversation about a prenup. That seems like it would be painful.
Hey, so you know how I'm bringing a lot more into this than you
right.
are?
Well, but I think everybody knows, right? And it is that fear. But I think a good way to do it, and I've seen success with this, would be one side or the other, it doesn't matter which side, going to their partner and saying, I need to have a difficult conversation with you.
Yeah.
And I'm worried I'm going to say something wrong that's going to either make you mad or upset, but it's not coming from there. But there's something weighing on me that I feel like we need to talk about, and hopefully we can work through this together. And then it disarms the conversation a little bit, in that you're telling them up front, this isn't something that you would normally have a fun date night conversation about. But then you could come into and say, you know, when my, you know, here would have been an example, and I don't have a prenup, but here would have been an example. You know, I could have gone to Kate and said, when Dad passes, I'm going to inherit this business. And I'm just really concerned about what that looks like if a few years from now, I don't think it's going to happen, but we separate. And if I've inherited the business, what does that do? And that's a concern of mine, and I don't know how to handle it. And then you can start working through it. It's like, oh, well, that's your business, you know. I don't mind signing something to say that that's yours. You know, those are the...
Or here are my concerns. I've been having to sacrifice X, Y, and Z so you can run that business.
Right.
Or...
Right.
And have a discussion.
And maybe there's a solution, maybe there's not. But it's better to have that conversation before you go down the aisle, or before mm-hmm. you elope to Vegas. Or
before you end up on Dr. Phil.
Or on Dr. Phil. So I think it's just nobody, they don't teach us in schools a lot of the life skills I think we need. I think financial management's huge in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think interpersonal relationships is something there that people just don't know how to have hard conversations.
Well, it's hard going from looking out completely for yourself to all of a sudden trying to put someone else's needs ahead of your own,
right,
or equal with your own.
Right.
And I think that, you know, if you work through that together, a lot of times you might end up being better at it with your partner than
right.
you know, it's a growing thing.
I think it's huge. And as you can imagine, like, Dad got remarried after Mom passed. So he had a prenuptial agreement, you know, And that was huge, because if he hadn't done that, maybe we're not doing this podcast right now, right? I've got a great relationship with my stepmother, but who knows?
Right.
You just don't know. So if it's worth it to you, have the conversation, or just let it go.
And that's with it. That's not just finance. That's every conversation in relationship.
That was probably mine and Kate's biggest thing. And people used to laugh at us. We'd be mid-fight about something. We don't fight a lot. We were described by somebody the other day as the coupliest of couples. That we just like to do everything together. We like to make decisions together. It is what it is, you know. And she feels it's not that I need her opinion to make a decision or she needs mine. It's just we value it enough that we both, like, independently, we would rather do the decision together. So
and after a while, don't you kind of, when you're thinking it through before talking to them, you kind of know what they're going to say after you've had enough conversations.
Yeah. But our big thing was, are we going to get divorced over this? And then when that was a laughable thought, we're like, okay, well, let's just let it go. I'm not going to agree with you. You're not going to agree with me. We don't need to fight about the rest of the afternoon and into tomorrow. Let's enjoy our dinner and move on. So that was our line. Are we going to get divorced? No. Okay. We move on.
Mine and Lacey's always comes to a standstill, and then weeks later, Lacey will be like, actually, I came up with a better point than what you had.
Ding, ding.
Even if I win, it's just temporary. So.
You never win. There's no winning. Learn that early, right? There's no winning.
This is getting heavy. This is too heavy for me. I'm going to have to do something to change the mood in the room.
Back to pizza.
I'm glad. Yeah, well, that's a big one. So, you know, if you're having the conversations about money, have the conversation about whether pineapple and ham is an acceptable thing on pizza and just get it all out of the way at the same time.
If you spend all that, that's four pizzas that we can't have if you buy that. You know, well, always compare things to pizza.
Pizza. Yeah, that's a good ratio. How many pizzas would this cost me?
Yeah.
I am 100% against pineapple on pizza.
Are you?
100%.
I'm okay with it.
I think we need a divorce.
Yeah. I like it.
I like it. I like it a lot. I like it on thin crust.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, you all are gross.
Well, we found that out last episode.
I'm okay with ham or grilled chicken.
Yeah.
I'll
eat anything on pizza. Let me be honest.
So, have you listened to the last episode yet?
I don't know if I've listened to the last one. I listened to the mayonnaise on hot dog, and we might have to get a divorce, Peter.
It's good.
Okay, well, it's okay. I wanted to make sure you didn't listen to it, because I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
And I didn't want you
I haven't listened to the last one.
Okay,
no.
I didn't want you to be like ahead of the curve. I want to this just to be totally off the cuff.
All right. Let's hear it.
Because I want to embarrass you in front of our tens and tens of listeners. Tens.
But speak of Dolly that way.
Yeah.
I know. First thing that comes to your head, don't sit and ponder it, okay?
Okay.
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 People can't see you nodding. You got to speak into the microphone. Would you rather have a hairy tongue or hair on your palms?
My palms.
Tell me why.
Because I'd constantly be biting at the hair on my tongue. And I think that'd be uncomfortable.
So that's where we landed yesterday. But what was really interesting, we did all these would you rathers. And then we asked this one to someone else in our office, and their immediate response was one that we had not even thought of.
Yeah.
And it had to do with, like, the food getting stuck on it or something that.
It was like, and I don't have to brush it.
Well, yeah. And if it's your palms, you could shave it.
Brushing your teeth would mean something totally different. You would actually have a brush for your tongue, too.
I mean, it would be hard to shave your – I mean, it'd be a pain to shave your hands. But
you'd shave them? I thought we'd just let it go. Like, I don't shave my arms.
You don't? You shave your legs.
When you have calves like these,
Oh, my goodness. It's getting deep now. Okay. This is the big one.
All right, let's
hear it. Because I outed Peter last time.
Yep.
And I can't stop thinking about this, and every time I do, I laugh.
Yep.
Would you rather your fart, he's already giggling, be silent but deadly or loud with no smell?
Silent and deadly. I share an office right now, and I think I could push off the blame pretty good.
I figured you'd say that. You're one of those. Are you the whoever smelt it, dealt it guy?
No, I don't think that. It's just sometimes you want to take credit, and other times you're like, I just don't want to deal with this today.
Peter confessed that he passes gas in meetings.
I try hard not to, but like, oh, I'll get something off the printer or the copier, I'd much rather be silent.
I may have taken that a little out of context, but
that explains why everybody just gets really uncomfortable halfway through these.
It's like what Mighty Ducks, Goldberg, yeah. You know.
So that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's funny. That's all I had.
What were
I
your just answers, Josh?
Oh, I was going to go with the, I was Hairy Palms.
Yeah.
And I want mine to be loud.
Loud and proud.
I like the shock value. That's who I, it's my personality.
There were money would you rather ones in there too. We just didn't go with any of those.
We just don't remember them.
Yeah, we did talk about relevant ones, but then, you know, you had to throw in.
It's like, what do you all do when I'm not here? Just
we just talk about, you know, hairy tongues and palms and eating bugs.
Yeah, we did talk about that too.
Yeah.
I've seen that sort of thing where they'll fry the bugs and you can.
We talked about me just being too lazy and knock it off my s'more.
Yeah. Oh. It's actually like a thing. Some people genuinely like fried bugs.
He was saying you're out camping and you, like an ant crawls on your s'more. You
it's
just
like on the way to the mouth, you're like, ah, it's all right.
I was like, no, you flick it off. You don't eat it.
And then you roll the toilet paper over the backside of the thing.
Oh, no. Oh.
Talk about ending marriages. The toilet paper roll one will end a marriage. Have that conversation up front.
Yeah. And if you disagree, get two bathrooms.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to do a small plug for Charmin. Our house is a Charmin red household because they go by colors. You know, they got like red and blue, and we are 100% Charmin red. So, Charmin, if you want to
give us money for that.
I will send you our address. Yeah,
anything's better than the like 0.25 ply that they put in the bathrooms here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You just try so hard not to go to the bathroom here until you just have to. Okay, well, we're getting way off beat here. We're going to wrap up. But, Brian, thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely.
You look good in your cubicle. We want you back sometime. This is the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. If you have questions similar to the one Brian had.
Or better.
Or any type, send those to connect@AFIAdvisors.com. Be sure to check us out on all of our social media channels, and we will catch you later.